Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Albert, by the way, is going to be moved to tomorrow, okay? So we'll have Albert tomorrow right here on The Fan. One thing we wanted to ask Albert about was the idea, basically what Miles had said in whether or not he tried to make a pitch for Nick Chubb. We've talked a lot about Nick Chubb in the past 24 hours. Very weird to see him in a number 21 uniform for the Texans, by the way.
True.
Derek Stingley is an all-pro. He's a pro bowler. He earned the number 24.
Yes.
Nick Chubb knew he wasn't going to get the number 24.
Yes.
So he settles on number 21. It made it a little weird. But Miles was asked about whether or not he tried to make a pitch and tried to keep Nick Chubb on this roster.
I love Nick. I think a lot of the guys who are in this locker room still feel the same way as I do. It crushed us to see him get injured and have to battle through, and then it happened again. So we want the very best for him. Happy to see him still able to play, still able to do his thing. You know, want to see him, you know, go back to being the player that he was and have a smile on his face, continue to, you know, ball out. That was part of my talks with AB, you know, a couple months ago, you know, asking, you know, the situation with Nick and, you know, how that's going to work out and, you know, how we can get him back here. Because, you know, I know it means a lot to the fans, but he means a lot to us as well in the locker room. So, you know, it's an emotional blow to not have him here. But we got to keep on moving, keep on trucking. You know, we got some very talented, you know, backs in that room. Some young, hungry guys who have a hell of an example to watch and some shoes to fill. But, you know, he's one of the best to ever do it in the brown and orange, and we appreciate everything he's done.
All right, so we'll get to the Nick Chubb portion of this in a second. I do think it's a little comical that this is Myles Garrett reminding everybody of all the demands that he had for the Browns. He just continued to get none of them. Like, I don't think this is the flex that you think it is, Miles. So what we knew ahead of time going into this contract negotiation and everything was that he wanted a quarterback. He wanted a legitimate franchise starting quarterback. You didn't get that, obviously.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Here's Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, here's Joe Flacco. Enjoy him. So he didn't get that, whiffed on that, clearly. And then this is Miles. And again, I don't think it's the flex that he thinks it is, being like, yeah, I told him I wanted Nick Chubb back here. It was part of our discussions and our talks. And they just completely ignored everything that he had to say.
Well, it was never about any of that stuff with Miles. It was about give me the most money that you can to make me happy and be quiet.
I don't know. I do think it was about some of the other stuff, though, because he was going to get money. If he got traded, he was going to get a massive contract that was going to pay him $40 million a year anyway. I genuinely think he just got backed into a corner and he realized, I don't have any options here.
That's right.
They have my contract for two more years. They don't have to abide by anything that I say or do. And
I don't have to trade me to a contender.
They don't. Well, it's very remnant of like when Dame a couple years ago was like, get me to Miami.
Yeah.
I want to go to Miami. And it's like, well, here's Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You know, like, we don't have to send
Dame. Miami doesn't have good stuff to send us.
Yeah. Like, we don't have to play ball the way that you think that we have to. And in the NBA, typically, as you know, like, it does, you do get to play ball that way and you do get to kind of call your shots. And I think Miles just got wrapped up in the idea that he could call his own shot and didn't get it. But it's comical to me that there's just another thing we can add to the list, that when he sat down with all the head honchos and the people in charge with the Browns, was like, this is what I want. And I don't even know if I believe him, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Nick Chubb came up in any sort of fashion. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Miles has a funny way of rewriting history sometimes and telling you all these things when none of it actually happened. But if it did, then it's another thing that the Browns just flat out ignored when it came to your request.
And it also shows that when it comes to players and making decisions on where they're going to sign in free agency or where they want to be long term, who you play with plays a part in it, because you consider that, how much of a chance do I have to win a Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
How much of a chance do I have to get into the playoffs? But it's not going to be a deal breaker, especially when they hand you a bag of cash.
Yeah, I mean, usually money's got a good way of smoothing things over with people, for sure. But like, is Nick Chubb, was he going to be... Listen, there's a lot that Nick Chubb and Myles Garrett have as far as the relationship is concerned. Yesterday, I talked about how I thought this was almost just a closing of a chapter for a lot of Browns fans that thought that this was going to be the team that not only took them to a Super Bowl, but won Super Bowls with an S. You know, when they started this thing off with Baker, and it was Baker and Denzel and Miles and Chubb and Hunt and all these different players and Njoku, and you see more of those guys than not are not even on the team anymore. Nick Chubb leaving is a true sign, and that's what yesterday was, that window's closed. We're on to a totally new part of the Browns. And so maybe for Miles, that's what this was. It was him trying to campaign for Nick Chubb because it's a feel-good spot for him. And if you have Nick Chubb on your roster, you don't really suck that much. You know what I mean? But the reality is that Nick Chubb, in my opinion, wasn't going to offer up anything fantastical this year. And the Browns, from a talent standpoint, got much better with the two rookie running backs. I don't even know what they're going to offer up, but Judkins and Samson are going to be better than Nick Chubb off of two knee injuries, two major knee injuries. And based off of what we saw last season, I like if I'm Miles, I'm happy this is how this unfolded, even if you have an affinity, obviously, and a love for Nick Chubb.
There's obviously emotions attached to it. It's funny because I remember the conversations that a lot of the Cavs players had around the time of the trade deadline. And obviously they were in pain because they had lost George Niang and Caris LeVert. And a lot of fans downplayed the impact of those guys behind the scenes. But if you were around the team, you could feel it. You could feel the emotion from Max Strus. You could feel the emotion from Donovan Mitchell. You could feel the emotion from all of those guys. But they also understand that it's a business. And they also understood how much DeAndre Hunter was going to help them on the floor. And I think it's easier for players being in it and recognizing the business side to put their emotions aside and recognize how much better a team can possibly be if they feel like they improve the running back spot. We'll see if they actually did, but there's a feeling, at least from the organization, that they are better at the running back spot. If they didn't feel like that, they would have brought back Nick Chubb. If they felt like he had a lot still to give them, they would have brought him back. But they didn't feel like that, and we'll see if it turns out to be accurate. But players understand that, and it's easier for them to move on than it is for fans who are emotionally invested in these guys.
Well, so I want to ask you guys, 216-474-0092, chime in. Is losing Nick Chubb a bigger hit to the fan base, or is it to the locker room? Because that's Miles telling you, like, that's this matters to this locker room. And listen, Miles is the defensive side of the ball, and obviously Nick Chubb was the offensive side of the ball. There's not that much that meshes between the two of them, but clearly, like, Miles made a point to say, I wanted my guy here, and it's going to have some ramifications, you would think, or at least a trickle-down effect in some way.
Let's say this season doesn't go the way that the Browns want it to. And I don't even know how they want it to go. I don't know what the goal is for this organization.
Well, I think part of that problem quickly is the idea that it seems like there's two different paths they could go and two different potential goals, right? Kevin Stefanski's still got to win games to keep his job. I know he thinks that he's going to be employed here for the next half decade. You're trusting Jimmy Haslam. That's the wrong guy to trust in this situation. You win three games, there's a real chance you're just out in the street. Meanwhile, it seems like Jimmy Haslam and everyone in the, you know, that is, make sure their job is tied down like that. They want a high draft pick. They want the quarterback of the future.
So let's say it doesn't go well for the Browns.
Yeah.
And we start making a list of the reasons why, similar to last year. I mean, Nick Chubb not being part of the organization is probably going to be way far down on that list.
Very far down on that list.
I don't even know if anybody will bring it up unless they get negligible production from the running back spot.
They'll bring it up if in Houston he is having the type of year that Baker Mayfield had last year in Tampa Bay.
Of course.
But I don't think that's going to happen. Like, is he turning into Derrick Henry that had 1,900 yards and led the league in rushing touchdowns last year? I doubt it.
So that has to happen for Nick personally, and the Browns have to get nothing from their running back spot. Because it's easier to move on from something if you can move to something. Right? The Baker thing lingers so much because everybody was watching whatever that was at the quarterback spot during those years.
His name was Deshaun Watson, and it stunk.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Like, you had nobody else to move
toward. I just saw Chris Sims.
You had nobody else to give you hope.
Chris Sims came out with his top 10 quarterback rankings in the entire sport today, and Sims does this every year. I like his rankings. He had Baker Mayfield 9th. You telling me we couldn't use the 9th best quarterback in the NFL right now?
So if Nick Chubb becomes a Pro Bowl caliber running back, but Judkins is in the conversation for Offensive Rookie of the Year, it's not going to be as painful. It's not going to be as difficult to watch because there's hope coming from the other guy.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. I would love to believe that we could just push it all in the rearview mirror that way and be like, Judkins is so great, so it doesn't depend and doesn't matter as to what happens with Nick Chubb. But I think just as many fans would turn around and be like, you could have had Judkins and Nick Chubb. Could have had them both.
Two-headed monster. Thunder. Oh, wait.
216-474 to blow 92.
Sonic and Sonic. Oh, wait. Mario and Mario. Oh, dang it.
And they'd be like, Samson stinks. Judkins is awesome. This could have been Judkins and Chubb. It would have been the greatest thing ever. And that's fine. That's how fans think. But there's a reality attached to it that I just don't think that's going to happen with Nick Chubb anyway. And this is the Browns. The Browns' bet right now is that you didn't want to pay someone to basically be a mascot. You didn't want to pay someone to just be, hey, he's in the locker room because we're going to one day put him in the Ring of Honor. And if anything, I can almost look at that. I choose to look at it this way, glass half full approach, but it's almost respectful of Nick Chubb to be like, go to a playoff team, have your opportunity, and we're not just going to sit you behind a couple running backs and not really give you a chance to do anything.
Ready for a prediction?
Yes.
There is going to be more conversation from this fan base on Judkins versus Travion Henderson.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Than anything involving Nick Chubb.
I don't buy it, but I like the prediction. I like the prediction.
I'm telling you right now.
I don't buy it, and I was a Henderson over Judkins guy, but we got to change our tune on that because I like Judkins as well, but I really liked Henderson. 216-474 to below 92. Get your thoughts on this. As it relates to Myles Garrett saying he made a pitch to keep Nick Chubb, is losing Chubb a bigger hit to the fan base or to the locker room? Continue with your phone calls this afternoon drive right here in the Fan. It's easy points for the fan base, and maybe right now Myles Garrett just needs some easy points.
Gets us meter needs to go up.
It needs to go
bit.
Up. Meanwhile, I'm the sports radio host that it's like, I can't believe he asked for more that the Browns ignored. There's no way Myles Garrett saw that take coming, did he?
No.
If he had thought this out and was like, all right, I'm gonna talk about Nick Chubb and how he went to bat for him, and everyone's gonna be like, of course he did. They were on the same team together for so many years. What a great teammate he was. Like, it's all going to go over so glowingly well, and everything's going to be awesome. And then I came into the picture.
How much more work do you think Myles has to do, Jonathan, to get back in the good graces of the fan base?
Honestly,
or do you think
not
he's
much.
There already?
No, I really don't think it's that much. Because I think there's work to do with some people that are maybe in these type of spots. So, like, Nick, there's a lot of work between Nick, you know, my actual co-host, and Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. He's very mad at how this whole thing has gone down. He is very mad and upset at the lack of leadership that Myles has displayed and everything and so on and so on and so on, right? Mm-hmm. I think there are a segment of people that are like that when it comes to Myles. I think most people are like myself. He caused a ruckus. He didn't want to be here. He didn't get what he wanted. That's life sometimes. But he's still here. And he's going to try to make the best of it, and he's going to take his cash, and he's going to take his money, and he's going to play out the rest of his career, and then he's going to go to Canton, and that's it. And he's going to be more than happy with that end result and that outcome, and we'll look at him as an all-time great Brown. The problem with that is that he's going to always live in the back of his mind. If this team doesn't turn this thing around in the next couple years, I wanted to play for titles. And he knows that, and we know that, and we just have to accept that. But no part of me is still maintaining any sort of upset feelings for Myles Garrett. Myles just played his hand a little bit too early, and now he's got to live with those results. Do you feel that way with Myles?
I do, yeah. I think the kind of player he is, the way that he re-signed the contract, the things that he has said since then, I think that certainly helps. I think some of the things that Nick has pointed out about Myles are entirely fair, and they're legitimate questions about the kind of player he is, about the kind of leader he is, about whether you want this guy to be the face of your franchise, whether you want him to be the spokesperson for your franchise.
Yeah.
But he is such a good player, And I think everybody recognizes that.
Well, that's it. Yeah. You just have to acknowledge that he's always going to be up in the top of the league when it comes to pressure rates. He's always going to have double digit sacks. Like this is all while being double teamed too.
Now, if he forced his way out and he got the trade that he ultimately wanted, I think that changes the view of how much do we love him? Do we put him in the Ring of Honor? All of those conversations get a little bit complicated.
They do get complicated. I still think that ultimately Browns fans would have, and I think we were trending towards this when all those conversations were going down, the idea of, I get it. The team isn't headed in the right direction right now. You had to do this year as the poison pill. You want to play, and he did the right things, and he did them in the wrong way, obviously, going on the whole Super Bowl media row and then making it on the
day
of.
Did he do it in the wrong way, though? What did he lose?
It caused a lot of commotion. I think that made people very upset, but the point is that what he was saying was right.
It just meant that he couldn't attend as many Cavs games as he wanted to, because he knew that he wasn't going to get the same support.
And then when he finally did, he got the applause.
Of course he did.
People gave him the standing round of applause. Everyone was happy.
Because he changed his mind and they put dinosaurs on the table of his press conference.
Well, and plastic dinosaurs cure all. Ask your son about that, right? Elliot, that's all he needs.
Elliot actually has one from that particular press conference.
Oh, really?
Miles gave it to him. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I was going to say, I would have totally believed that story, by the way. I would have been like, oh, yeah.
I should have just ran with it.
Wait, it was very believable.
Okay.
And almost like a hey kid catch type moment. there's a little kid. Let's give him the dinosaur.
You know what? I'm gonna run with it.
The more believable story was Miles.
Brontosaurus.
Miles actually collects all the dinosaurs and then in front of your son says, "These are mine now. I'm taking all these home." And your son's like, "Hey Miles, can dinosaur?" And Miles just looks at him in such a quizzingly just befuddled look of like, no, that's not happening, young son. You're gonna learn about the economics of dinosaurs really quickly.
Right.
That's how this lesson's going down. 216-474-0092. I didn't mean to paint Miles as a monster in that moment.
No.
I'm sure he's very nice to kids, but he was not very nice to a lot of people along that stretch. I just find it comical that it felt like even if he did get traded, a lot of people would have just turned around and been like, I get it. And I would have been one of them, by the way. I would have 100% been one of them. I understand you want a Super Bowl. Like, we have to admire the people.
I understand.
I admire
don't have
this.
A quarterback.
I admire this about Donovan in a way, in that he just wants to win in such. There's nothing else he cares about more than winning.
That's right.
And it's so obvious he just cares about winning.
That's right.
I love athletes like that.
Yeah.
And so I'll never hate an athlete, or I'll never think differently of an athlete if their end result is, I want to win a championship. When so many people could just take the easy route, they could just take a bunch of money, can sit back, collect their Ring of Honor, collect everything else that's associated with it. Like, he's actually, he made a push. He did it the wrong way, but he made a push.
And he wasn't successful.
No, he wasn't.
And by the way, nothing changed. The quarterback thing didn't change.
Well, that's
chances of competing for a Super Bowl didn't change.
That's the end result here, is that Miles asked for everything and got nothing.
So then does it change your opinion of him and the things that he actually wanted out of it?
No, the only thing it does is just tell me that this front office beats to their own drum and they're just not going to listen to their star players at all. That's all that tells me. They are so singular focused on what they think is the right plan and the right way of doing things that they're just not going to listen to any of these guys. And maybe that's how we got here as far as the culture is concerned and everything else with the
Browns. Hey, you have a contract, play it.
Make me a bicycle clown. We're basically at that part. Like, you're the one that plays football. I want you to play football and only play football. But then you can't turn around 6 years later and wonder why you have no leaders on this team. You can't restrict people's opinions and their voices, or at least hear them and then not take them seriously, and then wonder why 6 years later you got nobody to actually turn to on this team.
Okay, but what if they would have taken Miles seriously, Jonathan, and they would have traded him for a package that is not anything close to what you would think it would be for Myles Garrett?
Well, I believe there were packages out there that they could have gotten and would have been. Now, again, we don't have any reporting of like Detroit offered two first rounders and this and that. But the way that we had numerous teams involved and the bidding was there between Detroit, between Buffalo, between the Eagles, like there were enough teams that were in the mix as far as the bidding was concerned that I believe they would have gotten fair to what they were expecting.
Late first round picks. teams that are going to be competing for Super Bowls.
But it's also with the idea then that team would have had to offer up $40 million a year on top of it. Like there's a lot attached to that.
From their standpoint as well.
But there's a reason why even prior to Miles asking for the trade out and asking for the demand, we had people come on this radio station, actual reporters, and being like, if the Browns are going to take this poison pill 1 year thing or 2 year thing, you might just want to trade Miles in general.
So to me, it just doesn't matter because Miles is back and he's going to play football for the Browns and he's going to sack a lot of quarterbacks and he's going to put up tombstones in his yard and he's going to be celebrated for those kinds of things. But it's not the best look to make all the demands that he did and say all of the things that he wanted and make people believe he was about something bigger and then it feeling like it was just about the money. I'm sorry.
I just think he tried to force his hand, and I think he understood in the NFL with the years he had left, he just wasn't able to do that. I think he wanted out, and I think he was playing chicken with the Browns, and the Browns are like, we don't have to get rid of you. Like, we don't have to do this. And that was the lesson that Miles learned. And there's a reason why in his next deal, the deal that he signed came with a no trade clause. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why he put more things into that next deal to make sure that he doesn't fall into the same trap down the line. That's why, if we're being 100% honest about this conversation, I don't say this to make you guys mad. I just say it to bring it up. And the fact that it's the truth, it's not unheard of that if this goes extremely sideways and the Browns don't have a quarterback solution after this year and no route to a quarterback solution after this year, that we end up in the same conversation again with Miles. Like, it's just not out of the conversation.
Of course it's not. At some point, he's going to get frustrated again. He's been frustrated a lot throughout the course of his career.
I think he's one of the greatest teammates and greatest people you can have on a team when things are going well. It's just when things aren't going well is the problem. And then things just go sideways with him, and it is what it is. All right, we come on back. I want to hear you guys. 216-474-0092. A couple of you guys hanging tight on the Nick Chubb conversation. We'll get you involved. But Dan Orlovsky gave the way for Shador Sanders to win the starting quarterback job. You'll hear it next right here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Audacy Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.